Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn 61, Oh, Sing a New Song, 61. The Lord is near to those who call him. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Let us pray. Almighty God, it is a privilege to worship you, the God of all the ages. We seek in this morning hour to shake off the sloth and rise to pay you our morning sacrifice of praise. We ask you, Lord God, to disperse our sins and cast them away from us forever. Failure to seek first your kingdom and righteousness, getting anxious and troubled about things and forgetting the way to peace which you have shown us. Failure to love our neighbour as ourselves and treat other people the way we would like other people to treat us. Forgive us and cleanse us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Direct and control and suggest everything we do, not only today, but in days to come. Let us not be ashamed to own our Lord or to defend his cause, so that we may live in such a way as to let the world be, to let the world the better see Jesus whom you have sent. Our faith looks up to you, Lord God. Take away all our guilt and let us from this day belong wholly to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 160, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. 160.
Thank you.
God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, at verse 15. Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 15. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. And in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel chapter 1 at verse 21. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue, who was possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 465, "Be Thou My Vision," 465.
Thank you.
Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 27. What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. As we read through the Gospels, and especially as we read through Mark's Gospel in particular, we find quite a lot said about devils or evil spirits. Not only the Jewish people of that time, but the whole known world believed in devils or demons. The devils and demons were to be found everywhere, in every aspect of life, in every area of human personality. The idea of the devil fascinates people. It seems it always has. In Scotland, we've had features of our landscape named after the devil. The devil's elbow, the devil's beef tub. Do you know those places in Scotland? The devil's elbow on the fringe of the Grampian region, the devil's beef tub in the Borders. I have travelled round the devil's elbow a few times. The first time was quite scary, a very sharp bend on a very steep incline. There have been road improvements since then, and the devil has had his elbow straightened out quite a bit. It's a bit less scary now than it was when I first saw it. But we can understand the thinking behind the nomenclature of such places. They're called after the devil because there's something dangerous or difficult or scary about them. People have the vague but lingering idea that somehow the devil's at work there. They certainly had in the time of Jesus' earthly life, they certainly had the idea that the devil was at work. More than one devil or demon, that's for sure. Sometimes people's lives were thought to be possessed by them. Of course, there were primitive ideas about where the demons came from, how they came to be there, having an influence on human life. Perhaps the most prevalent idea was that those were the same demons which had been tainting the life of human beings away back in Old Testament times, and which caused God to clear away the sources of evil by bringing about the flood. That and a whole catalogue of details made up the commonly accepted belief in demons. We don't believe in demons nowadays, or at least not in the way they did in the time of Jesus' earthly life. But in those days, people did believe in them. It was their way of explaining a lot of the evil and a lot of the trouble which is to be encountered in daily life. We don't need to think that Jesus believed in them, but he knew that the people he met with did, and so he had to accept that in order to get on the wavelength of people. So when this man with his mental illness approached Jesus in the synagogue, people thought of this man as being possessed of a demon, an evil spirit. And as the man shouted out at Jesus, the common view was that it was the evil spirit that was doing the shouting. So Jesus responded by addressing the evil spirit. "Be silent," he said, "and come out of him." The man was immediately restored to normal mental health. And that is what occasioned the astonishment and the comment from the onlookers. What is this? A new kind of teaching, and with authority. It was the authority of Jesus which most of all astonished people. The note of authority in his voice, the supreme command with which he dealt with the situation. Jesus didn't go in for negotiation with the demon. No compromise, no bargaining, just be silent and come out of him. Of course, with the prevalence of the demons, there grew up a class of people who claimed to be able to exorcise or cast out those demons. Whether or not this was common before Jesus came on the scene, it did go on into the early centuries of the Christian church. So much so that as late as the year 340, there was in the church such a thing as an order of exorcists. But there was a significant difference. between the ancient Jewish and pagan exorcists and the Christian way of dealing with those demons. Both the pagan and the Jewish practitioners, when they were seeking to drive out a demon or an evil spirit, they used spells and incantations, elaborate rituals. Jesus, by complete contrast, Jesus simply spoke one word of clear, straightforward authority. One word from Jesus, or one simple command from Jesus, and the demons were immediately driven out. This is what astonished the people who witnessed it in Capernaum and later on in other places too. The power lay not in the incantations and spells. The power was in Jesus himself, and people stood in amazement. When we look at the world around us today, when we read the newspapers and see and hear the reports in the media, we're made aware that there are still evil spirits at work in the world. Not the kind which people believed in the days of Jesus' earthly life, maybe. But what is it that motivates the terrorists to commit the atrocities we keep on hearing about? Is it not some kind of evil spirit? Some evil possession and warping of human minds? Is it not the authoritative word of Jesus Christ which is needed to bring the world to rights, to restore a balance to human life so that people no longer need to live in fear? Isn't this what the church is here for, or one of the purposes for which it's here, to exert in the world something of the authoritative word of Jesus so that people may live together respecting one another? What the church can do may not be sudden or large scale. It may rather be a slow, gradual process by which the influence of Jesus Christ can spread over the entire world. But you and I and the church of today, we are here and we have this commission. We are involved and required to play our part in the Lord's work, no matter how small and apparently insignificant that part may be. The evil spirits in the world around us, the demons which are at work in the developing situation of the world today. Yes, but surely it's not only in the world around us, not only in the human life outside of ourselves, that the evil is to be encountered. You and I are vulnerable to the attacks of the demons. Within our own life, the devil is constantly seeking to exert his influence, divert our life from the Christian way. Maybe we know this. Maybe we're aware of some, at least, of the areas of life where we're susceptible to the influence of the evil power. And maybe we wish we could have those demons exorcised, driven out of our life so that we could live a life which is more truly Christian. But maybe we think we would be happier with the negotiation, the compromise, the bargaining with the Lord so that we don't have to get rid of our particular evil spirits all at once. There is only one Christian way. It is the way which Jesus demonstrated in the synagogue at Capernaum and on other occasions in the days of his earthly life. When Jesus Christ comes into a human life, that life is immediately transformed. What have we got to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? The demons cried out, as though to admit, we can't live along with you. We believe in God. We follow the leading and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We expose ourselves to his influence. And that is going to continue to work in our life, bringing the Lord's good influence to bear on every aspect of our life, driving out of our life whatever demon ought not to be there. It is a lifetime's work. The devil never gives up. If we get some of his demons driven out of our life, he keeps on looking for ways to get back in. But thanks be to God, although the devil never gives up, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't give up either. He knows what we're up against. He's been through the course, and he knows what it takes to fight off the particular demons which attack your life and mine. So let us keep on inviting him in, making room for him in our life day by day, so the strength will keep on coming when we most need it, and so the victory over the evil in the world will be assured. The Lord speaks with authority. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 515, Soldiers of Christ, Arise, 515. Let us pray. Almighty God, we would seek to give, as you constantly give. All that we have and handle comes to us as your free gift. We would seek always to bless you in our giving and in our ways of living. Accept and bless our offerings, and let them be well used in your service. We bring our thanks to you, Lord God, for all your goodness. We thank you that you have let yourself be known by those who seek you. For the wonders of heaven and earth, the world we live in, and the mysteries of it which wait to be unraveled, for the things already discovered and providing food and shelter and clothing and the means of discovery and achievement. We thank you for your love seen in our own life and in the lives of our families, for the memories which are precious to us and the hopes which we cherish. We thank you for the blessings of every day, and we ask you to help us to remember each day from whom those blessings come. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your supreme and most precious gift, for the old, old story of his love, never giving up its quest for the human heart, and the wonderful redemption you have achieved for the world in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We come to you, Lord, with our mind full of many things, and we ask you to guide our wandering thoughts towards the needs of your needy world. Let the church be your instrument in providing your people with the teaching of your word. Bless those who shoulder responsibility and enable them to discharge their duties with love and concern. Be with those who are ill. We remember especially those we know who are in our thoughts today. Bless them and help them through the time of suffering or difficulty. Help those who are finding life hard and those whose faith is under severe trial. Help them to persevere and to know your nearness in their hour of need. Bless our families and young people. Guide them always in your way. We remember, Lord, that your gift of life is eternal life, not at the mercy of worldly circumstances. We are therefore at one with those who share this eternal life. We thank you for those before us and those coming after us in this mortal life. Keep us conscious of our eternal heritage, that we may rejoice to serve you always with our best endeavors, following the example of those before us and leaving an example to those coming after us. Unite us all in your heavenly kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, some of you will know that one of our members, Eleanor Breckinridge, died a few days ago, and you may be wondering about the funeral service. The service is to be held here in the church on Friday of this week, Friday the 22nd, 11:30 in the morning. And there will be a burial thereafter at West Kilbride Cemetery. So that's the service for Eleanor Breckinridge, 11:30 on Friday morning here in the church. And now there's something else as well. We've just received word from St. John's Church about this is, of course, the week of prayer for Christian unity. And there is a united service in St. John's Church this afternoon at 3:00. And there will also be an opportunity for daily reflection at 9:00 in the morning, each day this week from Monday to Friday. So the service in St. John's this afternoon at 3:00, and Monday to Friday, 9:00 in St. John's for daily reflection. And now we close this service with hymn 622, We Sing a Love, 622. Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.